Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's read some verses at the beginning of the parable that we're looking at, please. That's Matthew chapter 25, and we'll read verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened, or be like, a picture is given us here then, of what the kingdom of heaven, here on earth, the appearance of the people of God across the world. Then, we've been talking about what that word implies. We'll come to that. But we're told here by the Savior that then, whenever that is, the picture of the people of God across the world will be like unto 10 virgins, 10 young girls, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. It will be like a wedding setting. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. Now, why does it say they all slumbered and slept? Why not just say they all went to sleep? Why the two words? Now, I've told you many, many times that there's nothing extra in the Bible. That is, every word in the Bible has its place. It's meant to be there. And I think that what is suggested to us here by these two words is a gradual falling asleep. They slumbered. They got comfortable. And they sort of closed their eyes and began to doze. And then they went into a deep sleep. I think that's what's suggested here. And in the light of church history, that's very significant, because that's exactly what happened over the years. They began to drift and began to doze off, and then they went fast asleep. Having said that, we'll return to the study that we were engaged in when we left you last. We've been talking about how it would be the devil's desire to deceive and delude the people of God. That is what he has always been seeking to do. He wants to tell men who are not saved, you don't need to worry about being saved. He wants to say to those who are hearing the gospel that tells them the need to be saved, he says to them, you don't need to believe the Bible and the gospel. That's not for you. And everything God says, the devil says the opposite. The devil says the opposite. Wherever you get anyone, I don't care who they are, whether they're a preacher in the pulpit or a teacher in a school or a teacher in the Sunday school, if they say something that is different from the Bible, they are speaking for the devil. They might know it. That's how clever the devil is. He can get people to do his bidding and they don't even realize it. That's how clever he is. But he's out to contradict the word of God. And I think, especially today, he is very keen on getting people to forget that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. I was thinking this morning, as I read the chapters in the Bible that are on today's Bible reading calendar, that there was one particular verse that really was meant for us today. Would you care to, those of you who can find your way, turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, the chapter 3. Now, this is the last chapter in Peter's last epistle. So, you're coming to the closing words of Peter. I don't know if you have ever noticed, if you're heading out the door and Mummy has been giving you instructions, just as you're going through the door, she'll repeat some instructions. Maybe not all of the instructions that she has been giving you, but she'll repeat some of them. She'll repeat the ones that she feels are the most important. And here we are. Peter's nearly finished his epistle. And among the very last words, it's important we notice what it is he says. Look at chapter 3 then of 2 Peter, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, that is, in both of my epistles, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I want you to remember certain things, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Here's what he wants them to remember. Here's what he wants them to remember. The words of the prophets and the words of the apostles. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. That's what these last day scoffers are saying. That's the warning given us. Now, boys and girls, we're in the last days. So we can look around us and open our ears, and you'll hear the voice of those that Peter here is talking about. Scoffers. You know what it is to scoff. It means to mock. It means to make little of. Ha ha! You don't think the Bible's true. That's what it is to scoff. And these scoffers are coming and they're laughing at the idea of the Lord Jesus coming again. Just that'll never happen. Where is the promise of his coming? It says in verse 4. For since the fathers fell asleep, or the first generations of men died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, boys and girls, let me tell you that that is a clear indication of one section of men who hold positions in the church, the professing church, and who hold positions in the scientific world. They're saying today, all things continue today as they have always been since the creation or since the beginning. Do you know what we call those people? Evolutionists. Do you know what we call that which they teach? Evolution. If you are in the habit of sitting down with mum and dad to watch some nature program, you will hear the voice of the evolutionist on that nature program. I can say that unless you are watching a video produced by a Christian organization that teaches the Word of God, unless you're doing that, every other nature program will be produced by evolutionists. And they'll tell us that the earth is millions and millions and millions and millions of years old. Funny, you know, every day, it seems, they discover something that causes them to go back and rewrite their notions and their theories. They discovered something the other day. I can't remember what it was. It might have been a tooth. Usually nothing much bigger than that. And as a consequence of discovering this, they said, oh, now we realize that when we said men were around 60 million years ago, now we realize as a result of the discovery of this item that actually they were around 150 million years ago. They're forever revising their notion. And that's all they are. Silly notions. And they tell us that nothing has ever changed. There has never been any great events in the course of history since the beginning of time. Look what it says. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But the Bible tells us that's not so. And you'll see that Peter says in verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. So there was something very, very great happened. Things happened, just continued on since the creation, day after day, no change, no alteration. No, Peter says, there was a mighty event when the world was flooded. The evolutionist rejects the teaching of the Bible on the origins of the world. God created it. Oh, no, no. And they come up with the most ridiculous notions as to how it all came into being. Just bang! And there it was.
There it was.
And there began a process whereby that which before had not existed suddenly begins to develop from a single cell and begins to develop until you had wee fishies in the sea, and wee fishies in the sea began to take an interest in the land, and they said, let's try the land. And even though they could only breathe in water, they took to the land. And even though they had no legs or feet, they gradually grew legs and feet. And from little fishies coming out of the water, we ended up with all the creatures that are on the face of the earth today, including you. Including you. So the evolutionist says. It's so ludicrous. It's so silly. You take a fish out of the river, and within a short time it'll die. Can't breathe. It's made to obtain oxygen out of the water. It can't do what you do, breathe the air and obtain oxygen. But then you can't do what a fish does. That's why if you fall into the river, you'll die. Because you cannot extract oxygen from water the way the fish does. But these evolutionists would tell us that there was this wonderful change, and it took place over millions and millions of years. There never was a flood. I'm not going to go into that anymore. What is important for you to notice is that Peter tells us that in the last days there will come those who will deny that Christ is coming again. That's important for you to notice. God has hung up this great warning that there will come those who will mock at the idea of the return of Christ. Now that fits in with what the Savior is saying here in Matthew chapter 25, where you have a picture given us of young ladies waiting for the bridegroom to come, which is a picture of the church, the people of God, waiting for the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, coming to claim his bride. But while they're waiting, they began to slumber, and finally they fell asleep. What do you think it was that put them to sleep? It was the notion that the bridegroom's not coming. He's not going to be here anyway soon. We might as well lie down and have a wee sleep and forget about his coming. Peter says that's exactly what will happen in the last days. There will come people, deniers of the gospel, and they'll say to Christians, you know, there's no second coming. Christ is not going to come. It's just going to go on the way it is. And Christians listen to them. That's what Peter's telling us, in conjunction with what the Lord Jesus himself is teaching us here. And it's all part of the devil's scheme. It's all part of the devil's scheme. You remember what he did? Way back in the very dawn of history, in the Garden of Eden, he came to Eve and he said to her, hath God said? You don't tell me that you believe that God has said. And Eve listened to him. Instead of saying, wait a minute, I know God said, I heard God saying this. So don't you come trying to tell me he didn't say it. He did say it. But she didn't react in that fashion. She listened to him. And she yielded to his temptation. And she ate that which God told her not to. She disobeyed God. And boys and girls, the wickedness that we see in the world today comes from that disobedience. Oh, the devil wants us to disbelieve God and believe him. Paul the Apostle, and here's another verse for you, 2 Corinthians, and it's the chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and in this, the opening verses of this chapter, you'll see that Paul's very much concerned for the church in Corinth. Very much concerned. He's jealous for them. That means he's jealous lest anybody deceive them into leaving the Lord and not believe what the Lord says. That's the spirit of jealousy that he's referring to. He says, I want to be able to present you as a holy person to the Lord, a chaste virgin to Christ. I want to see the church kept pure. Then he goes on, verse 3, but I fear. Oh, here's my fear. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that is, through his craftiness and his cunning. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity, the simple truth that is in Christ. Paul was anxious. Way, way back, that's 1900 years ago. As he's in Corinth and dealing with the Corinthian church and sees what is happening there, he's alarmed lest they be deceived by the devil, just like Eve was deceived and led into sin. And the Savior is warning us against that same sort of deception that will come in the last days, when the devil will persuade Christians, for one reason or another, that really they don't need to give any thought to the return of Christ. Forget that. Now that has been taught, boys and girls, in pulpits for hundreds of years. You don't need to think about prophecy. You don't need to think about the return of Christ other than just say it's going to happen sometime. But you don't need to look into it or study it or consider what God has said about it. That's what the devil has taught. And men, good men, have been foolish enough to take up the devil's lie and promote this notion. Now, I think I can say that there is no area of Bible knowledge today about which people, Christian people, are more confused and deluded than that which in the Bible deals with the last days. Now, you might not realize it, but you see that Bible? You see that Bible? You say, that's a very old book. Yes, it is. A very old book, written thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago. The newest part of it is about 1900 years old. The very newest part of the Bible is that old. But old and all as the Bible is, listen to me, the larger portion of it deals with today, doesn't deal with events years and years ago, the larger portion. It does deal with these things. You can read in the beginning of the Bible of how the world was created. So yes, 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 it deals with times that were long, long ago. But I believe that as you read through the Bible, you will see reference after reference after reference after reference after reference after reference to today. This book is not out of date. Not out of date. There are many portions of God's Word that deals with things long ago, but there are great sections of it that deal with today. Not only today, but tomorrow and the next day. Let me show you. Turn back in your Bible to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. Who can find it? The most of you are primary school. But I see some of you have already turned up Isaiah. Chapter 2. It's good of you to be able to find your way and do that, boys and girls. Learn the books of the Bible. Learn the books of the Bible. Isaiah chapter 2. Now, Isaiah, as a book, was written 2,600 years ago. That's a long time. 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 2, the verse 1, it says, "The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem." That's important. That's important to notice. "It shall come to pass in the last days." The last days. So he's repeating words from the Lord, giving information and instruction and knowledge regarding Judah and Jerusalem in the last days. In the last days. Now, I could take you to many places in the Bible and show you how that it deals with the last day. There's one portion. The first book of the Bible, you can find that. The book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, and the last chapter of the book of Genesis, but one. In other words, chapter 49. Now, this is longer ago than 2,600 years ago. Much, much longer. Listen to what we read. "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." Jacob, what is it you're going to tell us about? The last days. That's a long time ago, boys and girls. That's over 3,000 years ago. And God's people were thinking about the last days. Yes, it's a very important time. What's going to happen in this world in the last days is very important. And the devil wants us to ignore what the Bible has to say. And I think I can say today that the devil has been very successful. He's been very successful. The average Christian knows very little about the last days. The average Christian would not deny that the Lord is coming back again. He hasn't believed that part of the devil's lie, but the average Christian has listened enough to the devil to come to the conclusion, well, it's such a complex business, we could never work it out, it's not worth thinking about. That's the same as saying, God speaks in such a funny way, you can never understand them. You can never understand them. Therefore, it's not really worthwhile taking the time to try and work out what he's talking about. That's what the devil wants you to believe. And that's what many Christians believe. That God has spoken about the return of Christ and the events that will happen before it and after it. But he's spoken in such a way that you couldn't understand them. Oh, that is so dreadful. That is so dreadful. Do you remember what the people said about the Lord Jesus? The common people, the ordinary people, not the people who went to universities and a great education, just the ordinary people. Do you remember what they said? Never man spake like this man. And what they meant was, he's so clear. We understand what he's saying. Not like these old scribes and Pharisees. They're blathering away and you never can make out what it is they're saying. But this man, he's so plain and clear. That's what the people said about the Lord Jesus 2,000 years ago, and he has always spoken like that, boys and girls. He has always spoken like that. You know, my mind just fills with thoughts and evidences of that. One of the proofs that the Lord speaks plainly is the response of the enemies of God to what he says. You never find the enemies of God, as it is recorded for us in the Bible, saying, what's the prophet saying? I don't understand what the prophet's saying. What does he mean? You never hear them say that. But instead, they say, he's speaking against us. He's denouncing us. They understood, all right. The enemy understood. But then the enemy hadn't the devil whispering in his ear, isn't this nonsense? Who can understand this stuff? It's so mixed up. He just whispers that in the ear of the Christian and tries to persuade the Christian that the Word of God is so complicated you can't understand, so don't even try. Especially, he wants us to think that about events at the end of this age. Consequently, as we read here, they all slumbered and slept. They went to sleep. It's not worth our while trying to watch out. He's likely not going to come at all. Don't listen to the devil, boys and girls. But let me tell you, Jesus is coming again. And I think I can say he's coming soon. He's coming soon. You be ready for him coming. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, bless the children. Oh, I pray that they may be delivered from the deceit of the devil, and that they might listen with care and love and faith to the words of the Lord Jesus. Bless our school. God, have mercy on it. Look down upon it, Lord. Where else in Ulster today would I have the opportunity of saying the things that I have? But in a place like this, Lord, bless our teachers. Bless the pupils even now in the midst of their exams. Oh, that they might remember to call on the Lord. Answer prayer, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.